Blog Talk Radio.
Nintendo dubstep, mostly because that's what's up on YouTube. Some of you, if you got something else you made, feel free to send it to us. We'll put it in rotation. Not a whole lot of people doing, you know, Call of Duty dubsteps. Just don't happen.
You know, I have heard some, but, you know, yeah, you're kind of right.
Not too many. Not that great.
They're too busy screaming at the screen.
And in case you're like, who's that? That's that little red-haired girl.
Yay, it's me.
Woo!
Yay!
Did you get lots, eat lots of good stuff and get lots of tanning done and lots of nails done? And
No on the tanning. I'm quite proud of my gamer's tan, which means I am white, ghostly white.
And that's the best way to be. Be your natural skin color, people. Tanning is not good for any of us.
No. I mean, because I get out, me and the sun don't get along anyways, because I get out in the sun for like 5 minutes, and I go from white to beet red. So.
I have to say, even being a woman of color, I can't be out in the sun as I've gotten a little older. I decided, I believe that was last summer.
I was gonna
sit out in the backyard, you know, I went and put on my bathing suit. I was just gonna, mm-hmm. you know, for 5 or 10 minutes, get some vitamin D, and I actually sunburned for the second time in my life. I sunburned. I was out there for about 10 minutes. I was like, good God, it's hot, and I looked down at my skin and was like, we got a problem.
That's not good. Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't go out in the sun either. I was like, I'm staying inside till it's dark. So, yeah, you won't catch me outside during the day very often.
I did get to fly a T-38 simulator on base. That was amazing.
Yes, you mentioned that during the night show last week. So you got to fly, and you said you didn't crash because she's awesome.
I did not crash. I took off. I flew. I did barrel rolls. I did spiral rolls. I did all of that. It was amazing. You go into this box, and by a box, I mean it's almost the size of a room, and it's got, I think I counted, 7 projectors.
Wow.
3 in front of you that are facing projectors. So they're projecting onto 3 screens in front of you. No, a flat screen directly in front of you, and then 2 on the side, sort of. So it kind of makes a view.
Weird.
And then you've got the one above you, and there's one behind you, and when you're inside the box, it's like you're in that plane. It's all you can see is you're flying. And we got to fly, I'm doing whole air quotes here, fly over our local area. So, I mean, I could see everything.
Wow.
The rivers, the roads, everything were completely correct. It was like Google Maps, but in the air. It was so much fun. I was like, do I get to blow things up? Come on, let me, come on.
They're like,
I'm going to blow things up. And they're like, no. It's like, just a tiny one? No. But I took off and I started flying, and I'm automatically doing barrel rolls. And he's like, yeah, I don't think it would take much for me to teach you how to completely fly this thing. And I was like, no, I'm a gamer. I think I could figure it out. And he was laughing. He's like, yeah, that makes it easy. He's like, I thought it was pretty interesting. You were
you seem to be having such a good time. So we know that during the zombie apocalypse, Ginger's flying the plane.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I had fun. I want to do it again. I was in there trying to figure out how they made their own little projector box like that so I could do it for myself. You know, get my Omni Move that's coming in January. Oh, yeah, still bragging about that. Put that in one of those. Oh, my God. Who needs an Oculus Rift when I have a projector room like that? That could be
great. Is that right? Rawr.
Exactly. Rawr.
I don't do heights. Well, not even in games. I still get that.
It was epic. I mean, because you're not actually pulling any Gs or anything, so you're not getting sick. I mean, some of the guys complained that they still felt dizzy. I was loving it. It was awesome.
Not dizzy.
I was like, can I go
panic.
Again?
Panic. Complete and utter panic.
No,
they
it was great.
They don't fall out of the sky, no!
I had fun. I would love to go up in one now. Like a real one. I
see
think
what happens when y'all let Ginger fly things and things. Yeah, I'm not going with you.
I'm not saying that I want to fly it, per se, but I would like to go up and, you know.
I'm not going with you. I'm
keep floating around and do flips and loop-de-loops and everything else, yeah.
Oh, no, ma'am. No.
But I love me some roller coasters, so.
Yeah, that's going to be a no for me.
Good morning, James 176. Welcome to Lunch with Ginger and Corey. I see you there.
Hello there, James, darling. I can't see you. I can't see you at all because the chat room doesn't want to cooperate with me.
Oh.
So I know he's saying something to me. I'm sorry, I can't see. Oh, my God. Fun times. Okay. So I suppose we should do. I am actually fighting with a trailer I wanted to share with y'all, but apparently our site does not want to let me run the trailer. Oh, wait a minute. That's not even the right trailer. That might be why. Oh, no, I see him now. Hello, James. Hello.
Yay, it works.
Well, the trailer's still not going to run for me, but hello, I can see you there. Oh, my God. I have way too much energy. I'm, like, all over the place. I mean, like, really all over the place. Ginger, did you want to go first? If not, I'm ready.
There we go. Yeah, I can go first. I was just having a slight issue there for a moment. I opened something up and it was like, I'm going to make lots of noise. So I was like, no. All right, let me get this up. There we go. Digimon Masters.
Digital Master. Don't ask me why I know that, because I don't watch that show. Kid you not.
Wow.
Don't watch it.
I didn't realize it was a show.
Yeah.
But anyways, Hidden Treasures and Sanctum of the Abyss awaits. Joy Max unleashes a hot new hunt for exciting treasure in their leading MMORPG, Digimon Masters Online. Between now and August 27th, you can grab the... lose my voice all of a sudden. Nice. You can grab the loot given out for free just by staying logged into the game. For every 30 minutes, a full hour or 2 hours and 3 hour periods that the tamer stays within the game, you will be rewarded with items. These include Miracle Fruit, which temporarily increases the Digimon size, Amplification Booster, which is plus 200, providing a 200% boost EXP rate for a limited time, a Diablomon boss card, allowing players to summon this challenging boss, and a Summer Coin, a new type of currency. Each day, players who stay logged in for at least 2 hours consecutively will receive a Summer Coin. You can head over to their Facebook page, which I've got up right now, facebook.com/DigimonMonsters, for more information.
What if I don't want to go to the Facebook page?
But apparently, like I said, I didn't know, Digimon is well known all over the globe, just apparently not here in my house, to be the famous Japanese TV animation series. Yay! And it's the first ever 3D online game based on the Digimon universe, with more than 1,000 characters featured from seasons 1 through 5.
Digital Masters.
I'm
singing the song. I hate that show. I don't know why I'm singing it. I don't know why. I'm telling y'all, I don't know why I'm singing it. I do not like that show. Not a Digimon fan. Y'all are on your own. All right. I am still fighting with this trailer. You're going to show if it kills me. I'm telling you. You Will Do This or You Will Die trailer. It's actually a trailer for Saints Row. We've been telling you they've been having a lot of issues. Ah, there it went. It works. Okay. So, for those of you who are Saints Row fans, Volition has released what they're calling the Inauguration Station. Yeah, apparently you can be president.
Inauguration Station.
Yeah, you apparently can be president with this particular little add-on. You can download it ahead of time before the release of Saints Row 4 and make your very own unique president right now. You enter the election. You know what? It would be helpful if I actually gave you the trailer, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. Wait a minute, did I give you the trailer, Ginger?
Yeah, I'm running it.
Because I'm crazy today. Ha ha! Anyway. So you apparently can be president. You download it ahead of time. You can then upload it via the website, and it can be transported to the virtual Steelport in Saints Row 4 to be used as a playable character when your game launches. Inauguration Station is available right now on Xbox Live, as well as through Steam for digital download and your PS3 entertainment system through the PlayStation Network. It'll be available on the PlayStation Network, actually, on the 13th of August, so not just yet for your PlayStation. Now, you can also download your characters from Saints Row the 3rd to update them for Saints Row 4. So you go over to saintsrow.com, and you can check through the online gallery with thousands of you shared community character-type folk and start playing around with it. Yeah, according to this particular Saints Row, because I don't know the story, I will share with the rest of you and learn as I go as well. In Saints Row the 4th, the head honcho of the Saints has been elected to the presidency of the United States. But the Saints are just getting started. That's right. Now the larger-than-life insanity of the Saints series gets a new twist with a catastrophic alien invasion, which has been the cause of all the hoopla of them trying to get featured or even be able to sell Saints Row in Australia. Because I was wondering, why do they have aliens and why won't they just take it out? So apparently it's a part of the storyline. Saints Row the 4th, yes, I'm calling it the 4th, lets players delve into an arsenal of alien weaponry and technology that will turn each saint into an ultimate entity of destruction. Yes, go over to saintsrow.com. And you can also go over to eyesightgivenatrix.com. Check the buzz section. Got all the links for you there. You can stalk them properly, their Facebook page, their Twitter, their YouTube channel, all that good stuff. You like it. You want to do it.
All that good stuff. All that good stuff. All right. Since we are already talking about Saints Row, I don't know if y'all covered this, but I'm going to jump into it. Saints Row 4 associate producer criticizes THQ's past porn star marketing for the series. Yeah. Saints Row 4 associate producer Kate Nelson is talking in Edge recently, and she says she didn't like the former publisher THQ's use of adult entertainment stars to promote Saints Row 2 and Saints Row the 3rd. She is aware what game she was working on, right? She says, I did not always love how much THQ put an emphasis on porn stars. In Saints Row 2 and Saints Row the 3rd, there was an emphasis on the Penthouse Girls and Tara Patrick. She believes the marketing department at THQ didn't understand that Saints Row 2 and Saints Row the 3rd were parodies of the third-person open-world action genre. She says, I think it's important in marketing games to make sure the essence of the game is what's being marketed, and I think the porn star angle didn't really fit in with what Saints Row is at heart, which is a parody. We like to poke fun. Saying that someone who had no industry experience was in a role that is sexualized as the producer of our project, or saying the Penthouse Girls are our QA staff, I could see the humor in that angle of promotion. She does go on to say that Saints Row 4 is progressive because players can create female avatars and make them look exactly how they want. She says, I think our game actually does represent women in a positive way, but the press will focus on, oh, hey, there are strippers. Oh, there's a dildo bat. Oh, my God, I could say dildo on air. There's a dildo bat. It's unfortunate from my perspective that doesn't come through. All right, so Saints Row 4 is set for a August 20th release in North America, August 23rd in Europe. Honestly, chick, it's a parody, so don't take yourself so seriously, even in your marketing. And B, have you seen the game and the people who play your game, and you'll wonder why? You wonder why there's so much emphasis on, you know, there being strippers, porn stars, whatever else. That's kind of I know I don't play, and that's one of the things that I know about it, because my other friends do play. That's what I hear about. Did I lose the cord? Is the cord muted? I lost the cord. Interesting. Did I lose the... No, I'm still here. I'm still here. All right, so it's just Corey's gone for the moment. All right, so you get me again because Corey is busy at the moment. All right, so let me get on to this. Uli Shield, BBC Village Life. Yay! What's all that got to do with you? Well, GDC Europe, so if you're a Euro fan of ours, GDC Europe 2013 approaches this month. Organizers have highlighted new sessions for the Smartphone and Tablet Game Summit. They're going to be talking on Ouya, NVIDIA's Project Shield, which I think is just a big flop, GameStick, MOGA, and other unconsoles. I like that, unconsoles. Also, the Playdemic on the cross-platform Village Life, and BBC on children's game strategies. GDC Europe is going to be taking place Monday through Wednesday, August 19th through the 21st at the Cologne Congress Centrum Ost in Cologne, Germany, just ahead of, also co-located with, the massive 275,000-person Gamescom event. GDC Europe Pass is also guaranteeing entrance to Gamescom. Awesome. So if you buy a pass for GDC, you also get into Gamescom. Hopefully that saves you a buck or two. Developers will learn how to cope with the challenges of implementing different control schemes and designing for near and far screens, also finding the right business model for each of the new channels in the panel. The panel is going to be, will unconsoles become the real next-gen consoles? I've got an answer for you. No, they're not. They're going to be something people buy, a novelty. Though I say this, up until the Steam Box. Steam Box is a whole other story altogether. Steam Box is going to change everything. I cannot wait to get my hands on a Steam Box and hopefully play APB on my big screen. Oh my God. It's
going
to be so
good.
Wait,
so it's going to where now?
GDC in Europe right now is going on, and if you get the Gamescom, or if you get the GDC passes, you also get into Gamescom. But they're talking about, will unconsoles, which is talking about Ouya, GameStick, Project Shield, MOGA, and stuff like that, being unconsoles, if those are the real next-gen consoles. And I say no, except for the Steam Box, because the Steam Box is just going to be all sorts of badassness.
Yeah, well, let's hope it is.
I just want to touch myself when I think about it.
You know what? No, ma'am. let's hope the Steam Box is badass, because we were thinking Ouya was going to do well, but...
I never thought Ouya was going to do well.
Well, we were hoping. So yeah. We're hoping with this one, too.
No, for the first time I heard about the Ouya, I called that thing out as crap. Actually, firstly, I called it out as I thought it was
some sort of
trickery and thievery. And, yeah.
All right. Those of you who has yourself a bunch of iPhone peripherals and things will be very happy to hear this. The company's launched what they're calling the USB Power Adapter Trade-In Program, which it hopes will encourage owners of its devices to go legit. In other words, stop using those fake cords, they say. And now, under the program, which is going to be running through October 18th, Apple will take $10 off the cost of a legit charger if you trade in any suspect or suspect charger that looks fake or faulty. Apple does not mention it outright, as the program appears to be largely in response to two recent electrocutions of two people in China. Yeah, both of which were caused by faulty third-party chargers. Apple, in an effort to save your little skin, wants to make sure that this never happens again. So customer service is safety is a top priority at Apple. That's why all of our products, including the USB power adapters for iPhone, iPad, and iPod, undergo rigorous testing for safety and reliability and are designed to meet government safety standards around the world. What's interesting is even Apple admits that it's not immediately obvious when it's dealing with fake chargers. I didn't even think to check for that. I mean, I have things that work with the iPad, you know, they just happen to work. They're not Apple anything.
Yeah.
Like this will be ironic to some people. The Zoom chargers from the Zoom actually works with charging the iPad, and it works with the AirPort Don't ask me
yeah,
why.
I use my, well, I don't have an Apple because I got rid of that crap. But, like, I use my Nook charger for my phone, and it says Sony Xperia Play and vice versa because it's the same plug.
They just work. So Apple is saying that the counterfeiters are getting so good, even they can't even easily identify them. So be careful. Check your charger out. Make sure you you check. I'm trying to get a good look at this thing here because the picture is so small. Just make sure you check yours out. I think they said the fake is the one that's not so rounded. And it doesn't fold in. If you've seen the Apple chargers, the power cord, the plug actually folds in when you're not using it so that the little prongs don't get bent. And the fake one apparently doesn't do that. So that's what they're telling you to look at first. And the base, yeah, it's just, it's.
No, that is the one reason why I got rid of my iPhone was that stupid charger. Kept on breaking, and I got tired of having to go to the Apple store and buy a new one every time I turned around.
Well, now they say bring it in if it's broken or faulty, and they will take care of it.
I was there. They were like, there's a shelf to buy a new one.
Like,
people, pay enough for your crappy phone. All right, so it is my turn, isn't it? My turn.
Unless you would like to go again. I know you did a couple there.
I can go again. I got one already pulled up.
Y'all see that?
Queen's Jubilee. That's right. It's not that weird English one. Man, that chick just kind of creeps me out. Anyways, latest update to Living World celebrates a decade of Queen Jenna's rule. Continuing its commitment to delivering players new Guild Wars 2 content, NCSoft and ArenaNet are delighted to announce the Queen's Jubilee going live today. And God save the Queen. No! What was it? I read somewhere the other day somebody called her a mafia with a crown or something like that. Mobster with a crown. There we go.
But you know what? That would be kind of cool if she was.
I know, right?
It would be cool if she was.
Yeah, totally. In Queen's Jubilee, players will celebrate 10 years of Queen Jenna's rule by opting to take a hot air balloon to Divinity's Reach, the capital of the human nation of Krita, and home to the opening ceremony. Once there, players can join the festivities and compete in ceremonial combat in the Crown Pavilion, a new gladiatorial arena Queen Jenna has commissioned just for the occasion. I'm going to have to find this place because I'm still like in newbie land, I think. I've slowly been playing Guild Wars 2. Hot air balloons, Queen Jenna's court. Custom hot air balloons transport the inhabitants of Tyria to the celebration. Opening ceremony, players can attend the dedication of the Crown Pavilion. Enter the Crown Pavilion. Players will be tested in this new mini-zone that feature mighty representations of humanity's enemies. Fight in the Queen's Gauntlet, that's right. In single combat, players can attempt to defeat increasingly difficult challenges against unique bosses. We got some new rewards, watchwork mechanisms, watch night mini, new features, account wallet for currency, PvP solo arena, new dungeon boss rewards, and mini game rotation system. All really cool. I go back and forth between Guild Wars 2 and Minecraft. I am back on Minecraft at the moment because I found, oh my God, Corey, hold on. I found a steampunk skin texture pack for Minecraft.
Why do you do this?
So
you know what's going to happen.
It's Minecraft. It's amazing, and it's steampunk, and everything's all flashy and metal and robots and, oh my God. The zombies are bottomless robots that are, like, floating, that they're, like, ghost robots, I guess. There's, like, blood everywhere. Oh, my God, so cool. Yeah.
Okay, I had to drink some juice because I had a whole issue there. Y'all didn't even want to hear that. Okay. All right. It be time for some war with Vikings. Yeah, you have to.
War?
War with Vikings. Paradox Interactive.
War, okay.
Yeah. You got that trailer there? Yeah. Ah, yes. Paradox Interactive, our favoriteest game developers, has announced War of the Vikings. It's just sharpen up your axes, prepare your armor, and groom your beard if you have one. We don't have one. At least I don't think I do today.
I don't want to groom my beard. I want to be a hairy Viking.
Beard grooming for the win. All right, so.
I've seen it. Don't you lie.
War of the Vikings is an all-out new multiplayer game built upon the technology that drives Paradox's medieval squad combat title War of the Roses. It's developed by Fat Shark, War of the Fat Shark. Wow, names you guys come up with. This is a new standalone entry into the War franchise that'll pull players into the brutal and bloody Viking Age. You can challenge them to design a personalized war and sack as England personalized warrior, I'm sorry, and sack England as a mighty Norseman, or you can defend it as a brave Saxon, featuring intense close quarters combat, as you see there, authentically inspired settings and weaponry, rich customization options, and large-scale 64-player battles. War of the Vikings will add a new, unforgettable experience to Paradox's close combat arsenal. The experience, have they launched it? Okay, well, yes, apparently it is launched. Nope, I'm sorry, it is in alpha. You can sign up to get in a little bit early. Go to signup.waroftheVikings.com. It'll be shown also at Gamescom come August 20th through the 22nd. And, wait, let's see. They don't really have anything in here that I haven't already told you about, except for squad features allows you to define a role for your warriors in battle using custom squad perks to buff your hired men so you can hire some people to fight with you. And they said the game modes, this one some of you will love, 64-player epic battles all at one time. Yes, all of you. 32 players, no respawns. So once you're out, you're out. And they also have a training ground to test out new character builds if you want to see, you know, how well your new character works. I love them. You can go over to our website as well and look up War of the Vikings and stalk them properly. We got their webpage, their Twitter, the forums, all that good stuff, their Facebook. And if you're just really lazy, you can go over to our Facebook because I just clicked the like button. Tasty Vikings. We need some girls in here, Paradox. A bearded girl would be funny.
It would be. It would be. Do you remember in Salem? Well, before we started playing, my friend Belle's played, and when she played during the alpha, I guess, or early beta, whatever it was, her little chick got to have a beard. Very upset about that. So by the time we got there, we didn't.
I want a beard. She should be like all shapely and boobalicious and have beards.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. All right, so consumer complaints. wow. Russian distributor halts sales of Company of Heroes 2 after lots and lots of consumer complaints. Russian distributor 1C Soft Club was forced to halt sales of the World War II real-time strategy game Company of Heroes 2 after consumers complained very loudly about the portrayal of Russian forces in the game. After numerous player complaints about Russian forces being portrayed as having a ruthless leadership and taking liberties with history, the distributor decided to stop shipping the game to retailers and reached out to public Sega. Sega said that they're going to look into these concerns. Sega and Relic are aware of the press stories circulating concerning Company of Heroes 2 and the historical context of the game from a Russian perspective. Hey, Russians, y'all were kind of evil, just letting you know. At this time, we cannot offer any further comment. However, we are taking the issue very seriously and are investigating these concerns thoroughly with all relevant partners. The issue is how Company of Heroes 2 portrays the commander of Russian forces as ruthless, ordering men to fight or be shot, or that some men fought without having proper weapons or supplies. Many angry consumers have reviewed the game on Metacritic and other places, calling it outright propaganda and dishonorable to the memory of those who fought against the Nazis during World War II. All right, I kind of see what they're getting at, but again, it's a game, folks. If you wanted to play in the real deal, well, you should have been born, you know, a couple of decades prior. Change.org petition has also been launched asking Valve to effectively ban the game in CIS countries. Put on your big girl panties and stop crying, you big old babies. It's a video game. If you don't want to play it, don't buy it.
Uh-oh. Back up, y'all. It's about to get ugly.
I don't understand that. Oh, it's horrible for the memory. You know what? We've got games out there that are distasteful and all this. Hello, Jay. Hello, Horse. Oh, my God. Yay!
I call them tricks.
We just need Joe. Where's Joe, man? Joe will have the whole crowd back. Yeah. I did love y'all. I did miss y'all. Yeah, I know, right? Yay!
Oh, my God.
It's me. It's Ginger.
All right, lovely people. Saints Row says no porn. Sorry, guys.
I just read that.
You did?
I think so. Where the chick was talking about how she doesn't like that it's being advertised because of porn characters and blah, blah, blah.
Well, this is from the associate producer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Oh, goodness. That's what I get.
Y'all Yay.
All right. Well, then moving along.
Moving along.
I wanted to talk about the porn.
Sorry. Well, we can talk about porn if you want.
Talk about it later.
Okay.
All right. In that case, Square Enix. Square Enix is not doing well.
Uh-oh. What's wrong with them?
Well, they reduced their losses by 75% since the last game quarter, but they finished with just 493 million yen in the red, and they have no releases coming out. Ooh. Now, no big titles went to market this past quarter. Yes, it's not good. Square Enix indicated good performance from browser and mobile games, particularly Sengoku, IXA, and Kaku Sensei, Million Arthur. Yeah, I'm awesome. The company's amusements business also showed amusements business showed continued growth. They made about 9.7 billion yen worth of revenue compared to their digital entertainment of 115 billion per quarter. Alongside these results, the company has reported the booking of an extraordinary loss of 1.6 billion yen. That's about $16.2 million. Now, extraordinary losses are defined as those which are incurred via unusual circumstances and are not expected to be repeated, such as a natural disaster. Square Enix's costs, however, were self-inflicted. Good God. In response to the latest environmental changes in the gaming industry, the group has implemented a change in its development policy and conducted a comprehensive review on work-in-progress game titles for the three-month period ended June 30th of this year. This is what's in the report. Exactly what form that review process took is unclear, but it's possible that losses are partly the incurred cost of project cancellations. These costs do not impact on the company's full-year predictions, which have estimated a year-end net profit of 3.5 to 3.6 billion yen. You guys better get it together, Square Enix. You cannot live off of little mobile games and casual games alone unless that's all you do and you are just marketing, marketing, marketing 24/7. Some people can do it. You're not one. We need some games from you. Okay, get it done.
We need some games for you. Get it done.
Yes. Yes. I don't know what's going on, Square Enix. They make good stuff, too. Very good stuff. I was waiting for something to come out. I don't remember what it was.
I don't know.
Oh, my goodness. Wait a minute. I got to share this one. I'm sorry.
All right. You go ahead.
Let me grab their website because this is good juice. Is it
juicy?
It's not that kind of juice. I did not have a link to
grape
it.
Grape juice.
All right. You know what? No, ma'am. Okay.
But.
A new company called Pluralsight. They're the Learn to Code company. They have, Pluralsight bought up a company called Peep Code. Yes, like Peep. And Train Signal to semi-competitors. They bought out their competitors, right, for a total sum of $23.6 million in cash and stock. Now, Peep Code originally focused on open-source technology training for developers. Those of you who are not in code means you don't have to pay for it. You can just go download it and get it and make whatever you want.
Yeah.
They were a startup that was based in Seattle, and Train Signal was based in Chicago and specialized in IT skill sets and technologies like Citrix. I know you've heard of that in Cisco. Yeah. Pluralsight offers Learn to Code video coursework, and now when they've added these two of their competitors onto their little train, the library will grow to more than 1,000 courses. The integration of the two sites into Pluralsight Fold will occur over the next few months. according to VentureBeat, as everybody rushes to implement cloud-based infrastructure, CIOs and CTOs and IT professionals who can support the new technology, which requires a foundation in traditional IT topics like Cisco and Citrix, as well as leading-edge web dev skills, will now have a place to do so. Pluralsight is now a one-stop shop for these skills, and in some instances, it's becoming a more compelling credential for professional development than traditional academic degrees. Okay, now while Pluralsight does rake in a fair amount of cheddar for its services, we can imagine that a sizable portion of this deal was a direct result of the company's hefty funding earlier this year. They got $27.5 million in their first round of funding, and Pluralsight was founded in 2004 in Utah, of all places, Layton, Utah. Who knew they had techies in Utah? I'm sorry, Utah. I just don't think Utah when I think tech.
Yeah, no, not at all. I think of sand and salt. And...
See, that's what I think. There's a bunch of sand, salt, and Mormons. Sorry, that's what I see.
Yeah. I was going to mention the Mormons, but I was like, I should mention the Mormons.
Well, we didn't say anything negative. If you're a good Mormon, be a good Mormon. I just don't think techie when I think of you.
Mm-hmm. Every time I think about Mormons, I think about the episode on South Park with the Mormons.
Okay.
Sorry.
Can't do that. We can't do that.
So sorry, Mormons. But that's what I think about. All right, so... What did they talk about? Okay. Anyway, sorry, I'm looking at our chat room. Again, we do have a chat room over on Twitch. If you're listening in on Blog Talk, come over to Twitch and chat with us. That's where all the cool kids are, at least. Anyways, play games, Hill Kids. That's right, folks. It's almost that time again. Extra Life 2013. You can register now, and you can already donate. Mm-hmm. It's going to be sponsored this year by Reddit, Twitch, Rift, KBMod.com, sorry, and of course the Children's Medical Network. Also looks like the ESA. On an autumn Saturday each year since 2008, tens of thousands of gamers have joined together to save the lives of local kids in a celebration of gaming culture that
save
we love
kids.
To call Extra Life. Huh?
Save the kids.
Yes. From console games to tabletop RPGs, to even lawn sports, Extra Life gives people that love to play a chance to do what they love to save lives and make a difference. Originally designed as a 24-hour marathon of gaming, Extra Life has evolved to mean different things to different people. Though most of our participants still attempt the marathon, I think I will be doing that again, too.
Oh, can you not be a day early?
I'm going to try not to be a day earlier. To participate, you only need to sign up free and gather the support of your friends and family through tax-deductible donations to your local CMN hospital on Saturday, November 2nd, or any day that works for you. Play any game you want on any platform that you want with anyone you want for as long as you want. The proceeds from Extra Life stay where they are raised to support children's hospitals. Since 2008, our incredible players have raised more than $4 million, and in this year, on November 2nd, 2013, we believe they will outdo themselves yet again. With your help, we can set a new record and save so many more kids. All right, so this happens November 2nd, 2013, starts at 8 a.m., or pick a date that works for you. yay!
Because
I'm going to go early.
Because Ginger just does her Extra Life whenever she wants to.
Where? Anywhere you like to game. Most people play from home. Game platform. Play any game on any platform you want, including mobile devices or board games. How it works. Simply ask your friends and family to sponsor your efforts. They can make a monthly pledge or a one-time gift. Then have a seat and play games on November 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
Who it benefits? Gamers select the children's hospital they want to play for during registration. In the U.S. and Canada, there are more than 170 CMN hospitals to choose from. Players outside of North America can choose hospitals and causes that work specifically in their area of the world. You can also register for Extra Life. Good Lord, I can't talk. You can also register for Extra Life absolutely free, though they would like you to consider the $15 platinum option, which makes you eligible to receive lots of goodies and prizes through the campaign. including the official 2013 Extra Life t-shirt when you hit $200 in funds raised. You know, of course, since we know about this early, we really should try to plan to do this. I think it's on a Saturday.
We'll probably will plan out something. We got three things that could go there. Depending on how cold it is, I may not leave the house, because usually I will go to the Galleria, and Extra Life does a big thing from the Microsoft store in the Galleria, you know, every year. So depending on how cold it is and if I feel like driving and you know, want to be out, I may go there. We also got GTA coming out, so that may be really easy to do.
Yes. But that's going to be on the Xbox, right?
Oh, yes, ma'am. You better pick this one up, Ginger, because we're all like...
I'm going to pay for Xbox again.
It'll be just that one time. It'll be worth it, I promise you. Like, I was talking to Z the other day. We're all planning what we're cooking. I'm like, I'm going to be cooking that whole week before it comes out. I'm making this, and this.
I don't know. Maybe I can come down that weekend or something.
Yeah, you come down if you want to. You won't get to play. We'll have a fight. Be like, I don't know what console you're going to play on, but I'm playing.
I'll bring my own console.
All right. Yeah, you bring your console. Wait a minute. They got a TV in the back you can have. You can sit on my bed. You can play back there, and I can yell at you from across the house. Ginger, stop running over me!
I don't know. We'll see. I've got to see what I'm doing around then.
Well, that made me very excited. I was already, you know, hyper. I'm reining it in today, in case y'all didn't realize I'm very hyper. I'm kind of trying to play it down, but she said that.
See, if I go down there for that sort of thing and I go to the Microsoft store, I'm totally wearing a shirt that says, "Screw you, Microsoft."
You can't do that day.
But
you know, we're in for a good cause, so we all have to love. We have to be like, you know, all 60s and love on each other.
Yay!
Yes.
Yay! I will think about GTA. Maybe I'll just like Redbox it for a weekend or something. But
mm-mm.
Me and Microsoft are just about broken up. We've been playing on the PS3. Finally, speaking of that, PS3 finally beat The Last of Us. If you've not played it and beat it yet, the ending is like, oh my God.
Have not played it at all.
The game made me squeal and scream a lot, so the last bit, I just watched the other half play while I like took turns hiding underneath the covers because I didn't want to see it.
Andrew, the only thing you're supposed to be scared of is dinosaurs. What is this? I'm hot under the cover.
I don't know, but something about this, I think maybe because it's like hyper real.
I have not played it.
I've never had a game freak me out like this, but this totally. I was like, oh my God.
All right, for those of you who have a Mac, you'll be very, very happy because today you get to play Omerta, City of Gangsters. Omerta.
Yay! This game is amazing.
Yeah, you can find a review there on our front page. Look under our little game reviews section, our video game reviews. I believe Ginger handle them. You might want to make sure that's
simply a Redbox Grand Theft Auto 5. What am I?
There will be no. You know what? I just realized what she said. No, you cannot you cannot Redbox GTA 5. You got, because I don't think you'll be able to play the multiplayer if you do. And remember, you have to have a disc and you have to have a jump drive and all kinds of stuff they want you to have, or a space. So I'm getting a jump drive just for that. I'm all ready. Anyway, back to Omerta, City of Gangsters. Omerta is a rule or code that prohibits speaking or divulging information about the activities of a criminal organization. Just to update you people on Mac, City of Gangsters Omerta is a simulation game with a tactical turn-based combat. You take the role of a fresh-off-the-boat immigrant with dreams of the big life. You'll work your way up the criminal hierarchy of the 1920s in Atlantic City. You start with small jobs. Then you can recruit a gang, expand your empire by taking territory from other gangsters, and eventually you establish your own crime syndicate and become the de facto ruler of Atlantic City. Now, what makes it so amazing about the game? It's a historically accurate representation of Atlantic City and its landmarks. Strategic gameplay allows city overview planning, expansion, and gathering of intel. Turn-based tactical combat with a cover system and stealth action, 15 unique player-controlled characters, each with unique personalities and backgrounds. And we only figured that out after Ginger played, and I asked her, did she get the French girl? She said, what French girl? So everybody's game is different.
I didn't get the French girl.
I got the French girl. That chick was, she was supposed to be dangerous. She was not all that dangerous. She did good. She stabbed somebody in the throat, and then she got shanked. It was so cute. There's an RPG system for development of your player characters and managing their equipment. There's competitive and co-op multiplayer mode with persistent gangs, 15 hours plus of gameplay in a single playthrough, 20 unique maps visualizing the various districts of Atlantic City, and you can pick it up for a mere $34.99. They're on Steam to download, or you can pick up the box for $34.99. It's the same price. Check out, go over on Steam. So it's on Mac. You also have it on PC. It's not a bad game. It is difficult, so if you're a little whiny baby, you can't handle a hard game, don't pick it up. We just tell you flat out. It's a little difficult to play. I'm not fond of the turn-based thing characters in this one, mainly because I couldn't figure out how to get it to work. I'm sorry. Sometimes that happens.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a rough start when she first played it, trying to figure it out. But it wasn't bad. It was a lot of fun.
So, they hide behind the box.
It's really pretty.
Yeah, I'm not a hide-behind-the-box kind of chick. That's why I didn't like the turn-based. You know, I had set them up so that I could go in. I knew exactly what I was going to do, but the system only allows you so many moves depending on what kind of character you had. So my friend could run long distances, but then she was tired or something when she got up to them, so she didn't want to fight. And sacre bleu, she's yelling out, "No, ma'am, that's not going to work for me. Don't yell out those germs." Anyway.
All right. Pulling this story from Game Politics, the ESF warns Americans about the Trade Promotion Authority. The Electronic Frontier Foundation, the EFF, is warning American citizens that something is foul and is happening in the D.C. area related to trade agreements and copyright laws. According to the EFF, U.S. lawmakers are trying to pass a bill that limits their own ability to improve or remove language in agreements like the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the TPP agreement, or the Anti-Counterfeiting Trade Agreement, ATA. They want to make it so that once something is cemented into law, it cannot be changed. Not cool, yo. Not cool at all. This could include copyright or internet control provisions that have been snuck into trade agreements or laws. This bill is called Fast Track, a.k.a. the Trade Promotion Authority. The TPA is a process that hands off Congress's constitutional power to set the terms of U.S. trade policy and gives the executive branch authority to negotiate and finalize trade agreements. Under Fast Track, the White House would have the power to sign off on treaties, after which Congress will only have the power to have an up or down, yes or no vote, to ratify the deal. Yeah, I don't like this. I don't like this at all. You think the White House shouldn't have this kind of authority when it comes to treaties? Well, you should go over and help the EFF send a message to the lawmakers. And you can do that on theaction.eff.org. I will be tweeting this out. Please go make your voice heard. Tell them, don't be douchebags. We will kick you in your genitals repeatedly.
Snow, what is with the genital kicking? Poor Snow!
People.
Uh-oh, I'm sorry. It's Ginger. What is with the genital kicking? See, both of y'all have that thing with the genital kicking. Stop it.
Well, genital kicking is fun. Sorry, guys.
There's lots of GTA talk in the room. We're all getting so excited. What are y'all going to cook? Y'all should tweet me. Tell me what you're going to make, because I've already got my lineup. Ooh, that's one of the things I'm going to make. When I said I'm a cook, I'm cooking up a whole week's worth of food, put it in the freezer, so I can just bring it out. Baby Natrix and I be like, go thaw out the blah, blah, put it in the microwave. Make my own version of microwave food. Girl, we are not playing over here. It's going to be like a holiday. Be wrapped up in my blanket because it'll be getting cold by then. Got my fuzzy socks on and my hat.
Oh, my God. What is this? You just, oh, my God.
Okay, did you see it? Do you? Ah,
see it. All right, let me get up on the screen for everybody else because, oh, my God.
I found this from, it's Geek Week on YouTube, as you all may or may not know, and I keep meaning to pull the feeds from there, but busy, busy days. But this went up on Geek Week and comes courtesy of our friends over at VentureBeat. Robotics expert Michael McMaster has been building R2-D2 robots with his friends for years, and now he has made a life-size working replica of
Wally. Oh, my God! Oh, my God!
Master has designed the WALL-E robot to look almost exactly the same as it does in the film. His WALL-E is controlled via remote control and makes movements and sounds of the Pixar hero. Making WALL-E was a lot more challenging than building R2-D2 because R2 was a real on-screen robot with props and costumers, whereas WALL-E was rendered by computer graphics to get the details. So spot on for Wally, McMaster and his friends took many screen captures from the high-def Blu-ray version of the movie and using those captures to build parts. Now, while this Wally doesn't have the AI that the real Wally does, it's still extremely impressive if you're looking at it, isn't it?
It's so cute! I want it!
Isn't he adorable?
Oh, my God. Dude, I will sit in your lap and do dirty things. I
wonder if he talks.
Yeah, without the cockroach, though.
I wonder if he talks.
No, but he doesn't. I don't know. He's so cute. Oh, R2-D2. Hey, look at that. Yay! Oh, R2-D2, your insides. Cover your shame! Seriously, that is so cute. I want it! Somebody get me that. Come on, please.
Yeah, Rayson, he did a great job. He did do, Horace is absolutely right. He did a fantastic job. He is so cute.
Amazing. That was so cute.
I want to.
So cute.
Oh, he put the cockroach on there too. Or he
was lower. It's all the buttons. It's got everything. Oh my God. I'm sorry. I know we should be moving on, but oh my God.
He's got to put the voice in. Now, you know what I imagine making Eva would be extremely difficult. But the Wally, perfect. He did such a great job.
Yeah.
He should, you know what, I wouldn't be surprised if Disney or Pixar came to him and tried to snatch this one up. Because, you know, he is like a free employee. If you, you know, program him to have the voice and everything and walk around and, you know, he understands voice commands like stop and do. Oh, God, when he looks up, I just want to kiss on him. He's so cute. you know, he could walk around and do stuff and hand out things.
I was thinking I could totally see him being, like, controlled running around Disney, you know.
Well, he doesn't have to be controlled. You can just kind of let him roam. You kind of keep an eye on him, you know, make sure he doesn't hurt the kids. But he would be just like the perfect.
When I get my 3D printer, I'm making him.
Are you actually gonna put his insides in?
I will try.
You need to speak to Baby Nature because that's what she's trying to learn how to do is program robots. If she sees this, this is gonna just make her go absolutely nuts.
It's amazing.
I
want
to make Wally.
He's so cute. I want him. All right. I got to stop looking at that. Let me close the window because there's no way we're going to be able to move on because that video just keeps on going. All right. So we talked about I don't remember. Anyways, we talked about Extra Life. There we go. We talked about Extra Life, and now let's talk about A Wasted Life.
Uh-oh.
A Wasted Life Kickstarter launches. E. Zachary Knight points out a new Kickstarter funding campaign for a game called A Wasted Life. Oklahoma developer Robert DeShong, yay for Oklahoma, at least they're close to us. A Wanted Life is a zombie survival, sorry, A Wanted, A Wasted Life is a zombie survival game, because, you know, we don't have enough of those. Promising procedural weapons, randomly generated environments to explore, and a dynamic story system. The game begins with you wake up and you don't remember how you got there. Oh my God. As you survey your surroundings, you note the city you're currently in is utterly destroyed and that the destruction has something to do with the human race being infected by nanites. Oh no, not nanites! Playing from a top-down perspective, players explore their randomly generated surroundings, attempt to build shelter, craft useful items from junk found in the environment, survive the zombie hordes, and search for clues to your identity. The game looks to be in its pre-alpha stages, they say. But they say it certainly looks like, if it actually does deliver on all that it promises, that it could be a fun and interesting game. All right, so anyways, if you want to help donate money, he's trying to raise $5,000, which is really not much. You can head over to his Kickstarter page. I will tweet that out so you can check it out if you want. Personally, I'm a little bit over the zombie thing at the moment.
What? You know. Oh, you are so getting your geek card snatched for that business.
It just there's so many crappy zombie games out there right now is more what I meant.
World War Z is awesome. I haven't seen it yet, but it's awesome.
No, I haven't seen the movie yet, no. Especially the last of this, even though I guess they're not technically zombies. I mean, they are zombies, but they're not like what you think about with zombies.
What is anybody played State of Decay? I was all excited about that one, and then nothing.
Because it was in a state of decay.
It was supposed to be like the big thing on Ouya, and then it came to Xbox. And okay, let me share something with you that you all may or may not have known about Google Glass. Did you know you need a remote control for it?
No.
Okay, you don't actually need it.
It was a touch screen. It was Google Glass, right?
You don't actually need it. No, Google Glass is the glasses,
okay.
Remember?
Okay, my bad. I was thinking of the...
Well, some company called Remote, and I'm going to head into their website so you can see what I'm talking about here, if it'll actually load up. Okay, let me just give Ginger the URL because my PC...
Jay says State of Decay was a very cool game, but it would have been cooler if it had had multiplayer.
Oh, yeah, I probably would agree with you, having seen
what... What did you just do?
I gave you a link to a website. Did I type it in the wrong window? I don't even know.
Well, it's not a link, so...
Well, copy-paste there, woman. Copy-paste. It's... Okay, so that's the name of this new company, and they believe that you need a remote control for your Google Glasses. The user interface for Google Glass is limited, of course, so you can talk to it by saying, okay, Glass, and then tell it what to do. Or you can stroke the touchscreen right along your temple all slow. Okay, now, for moments when either of those modes would be obtrusive or rude, that's why they want to make the remote. So, according to VentureBeat, you just have to decide whether it's rude to be fiddling with the remote control held in your hands or, worse, in your pants pocket. The remote has what looks like two touch panels.
You're playing with the remote in your pocket.
You can also use the control to start videos, swipe through messages, or otherwise control
past.
Did he say something dirty? Because I can't, because I'm reading this
here. Joke real good.
Oh, good Lord. The device will connect your glass via Bluetooth. It also contains an accelerometer, a gyroscope, an altitude sensor, and a temperature humidity sensor. There's some video here, too, that they had. Oh, hang on.
Yeah, I've got it playing.
Oh, never mind. Okay, so there's also an open dev interface, API, so they're hoping that other people will create apps that you can use with it, a smartphone, tablet, or a connected TV. I got some weird things going on here. Wow. Whoever's dinging me, I don't even know where you are. Stop it. Okay, so all those embedded sensors, they said, will come in handy when you're standing on the lip of a mountain canyon, wondering whether or not the weather makes it safe for you to launch yourself into the parasail, parasail into the clouds below. The company says it's currently testing remote, and if you want to try it out, there's a form you can fill out to request one. You do need Google Glass as well. Don't get the remote and be like, where's my glasses? You have to get the glass yourself. There is no listing on how much it will cost you for this little gadget. So, does it look interesting to y'all? Do you want to try it out? Everybody.
Until they actually incorporate Google Glass into glasses so that us blind people can use them? No.
I don't understand that because Yeah, I don't know what's going on with y'all, Google. I don't have one, so I don't know how it works, but it looks like it's just a little camera there on the top of the glass, which...
It is. It's like glasses frame, so you've got the whole nose piece, and then right on, like, the right side of the glasses is this bulky camera. So there are no lenses there in front of your eyes. And
you can't attach it to other glasses, so really, what would be the point?
Yeah. Like I said, until they find a way to actually incorporate it into glasses, I'm not interested because I don't want to wear two pairs of glasses. That looks goofy as hell on dorky people who do it now.
That's too much geek.
Yeah, exactly. No. We are the new kind of geeks and nerds. We are fashionable. We do not wear two sets of glasses.
Speaking of which, we'll be back later on tonight sharing with you some geek fashion. We may be able to find some good stuff there for you during Geek Week. I saw some stuff earlier we got to talk about. All right, guys. We are out of here. See you later. Bye.
Later, boys and girls.